Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare,
a podcast for the Shakespeareanly challenged.
And anyone who really enjoys some saucy dick jokes.
Teachers, we might insult you a little bit, sorry. Okay, everybody,
enjoy!
Hi!
Hi! Oh my god! Look at that! We're recording! It's so exciting!
Diana's in Italy.
I'm in Italy! And Aaron's in New York! That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And it's 11:30 in the morning for Aaron.
Do you
even know what time it is for me?
I don't know what time it is for you. I had a thought this morning, though. I think what we should do is every time we do a new play, wherever that play is set, we should travel there and record from there.
Let's do it.
So,
well, then we should get up and go to Scotland.
Right, we could go to Scotland.
Let's go.
I'm game.
Aw. So we're in New York and Italy, and we're in Scotland, in our brains.
In our brains, we're in Scotland.
Yay.
Yeah.
Because we're doing the Scottish play.
Yep.
And Aaron already told you why we have to call it that. We don't have to call it that. I'm not in a theater. You don't have to call it the Scottish play. Do you? Do you consider your space a theater?
I act in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also.
So you call it the Scottish play.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the curse when I didn't have you with me.
Yeah. And you filled them in on how you can counter curse. So.
Yes.
We'll do that just in case.
Yeah.
Which, if you were seeing video, that would be very funny. Yeah. All right. But we can say so much more about Mac because I'm titling this episode "Holy Fuck Witches."
Woo!
Oh my god.
We have talked a little bit about how James felt about witches in previous episodes.
So who's James?
King.
Yeah, and he was the one picked to succeed after Elizabeth.
Right.
Because she didn't leave any babies. No babies.
Smart. She was smart. She didn't fall
yes,
for that
no.
Patriarchy bullshit.
But of course, she being a woman, her attitudes towards witchcraft were probably, well, according to James, were entirely too lenient.
Mm-hmm.
Letting those bitches get away with way too much.
Right. Patriarchy, because
patriarchy.
Know that witches, right? Witches really means women who don't have husbands and are healers. We already know this to be true. So these independent women were a threat to the patriarchy, which is why Elizabeth was lenient towards them and James was not.
Yeah, and he totally did crazy things like just round them up and torture them randomly. And we know that torture is a great way to get a real confession out of somebody.
Yeah, because no one ever admits to anything that they didn't do when they're being tortured.
Right.
Right.
So they came up with even fantastical stories. Like the people torturing them must have been salivating for really exciting, disgusting, horrible stories. Like they said things like, yeah, we cut the balls off some dude and tied it to a dead cat and threw it in the ocean. And that's why there was a tempest that made your ship sink. Yeah. Jesus Christ, who would believe that shit?
Well, you know, they wanted it to be true.
They wanted it. They wanted all the really, really disgusting things to be true.
Yeah.
And so, of course, as we do now, right, pop culture just reacted like, oh, yeah, let's tell stories about witches. That would be fun. James will really like those.
Right.
We'll feed into the whole fear thing, right? We'll make people so fucking terrified of witches that they'll turn in their own kid.
Not unlike today.
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
And then...
If you hadn't noticed, I'm a little angry, but go on.
Yeah.
Go on!
Yes. Yeah, well, it's a good atmosphere to be doing this play in because, you know...
Fuck
the tyrants. Fuck them.
Fuck the patriarchy. Fuck them. Fuckers.
Yeah. Hope the witches get the better of them in the end, and they do.
And they do.
They definitely get the better of him in the end.
Yep.
And the interesting thing, I think, is that it's entirely due to his own free will.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, what they said was very vague, and he made of it what he wanted.
Right.
So I think Shakespeare takes, makes a point of pointing that out to you, right?
Yeah.
Like, look, he has him talk about it. He has Mac talk about it himself. Like, well, they might have meant this thing or they might have meant this thing, but, and I could do this and I could do that. So he talks it out and he makes his own choices.
Yep.
So, you know, you can fuck yourself or not fuck yourself. Depending on what you choose.
Oh my God.
And it's kind of how I've always talked about the tarot, yeah. Actually, when I work, with the tarot.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not prediction.
No, it's information to do with what you will.
Yeah. And that's the biggest piece, is like what you make of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I could go down a very long, convoluted soapbox path right now. Christianity in America, but I won't. Do that. I am in the middle of a Twitter battle with it's like a Beatles battle, beetle in a bottle on a post. I'm in a Twitter battle with a white Christian supremacist right now, which, how I end up in these situations is beyond me, but like, it's been so eye-opening.
Oh God.
According to him, not only am I not white, but I'm not American. I can't be American.
You're not white because you're a Jew?
Mm-hmm. And even though I said to him, my father's family came over in the 1600s from England.
Yeah.
And my mother's family came over from Eastern Europe. So am I white? And he said, no.
Wow.
And then he said, and you're not American because you can't be American and be Jewish. So then I brought up the 14th Amendment. How, everyone born in the United States is a citizen. He conveniently didn't answer that, but went on to talk about how race is genetic.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. It's been going on for 2 days. Anyway, enough about that.
You gotta disconnect from that. Get out of that ride. Get off that train. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So let's get back on the witch.
Yeah, let's get
back on the train.
One of the first plays that Shakespeare did for King James, right?
Yeah. And so he was really playing to his audience.
Yeah.
He's like, James likes witches. Okay, we put witches in the play, right? And James likes short plays. He doesn't have any fucking patience. So we make this really, really short and to the point.
Yeah.
And you'll notice this as we start to read it, that there's so many shared lines in this play that it just moves the tempo of the play along.
Yeah.
So it's again that feeling of like everybody's sort of roller coastering into an outcome that they can't stop in a way. They can't put on the brakes.
Yeah, it happens so fast.
So fast. So fast. At least like through the first two acts,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's stuck with the fucking consequences for the rest of it. It's awful. So, but he's also really super, he's human, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a horrible tyrant, but he's really human. And we live this whole struggle with him.
Right.
Which I think is so fascinating about this play.
I think one of the things that's so interesting, I always say this about Shakespeare, and I think I've been saying it in every play we've done so far, is that, Shakespeare was really good at writing human beings. I think Harold Bloom... judging by the title of his tome, would agree. But, you said Macbeth was a tyrant, but at the same time, he's completely human. And you can see how a human being can go from being a hero to a tyrant, not because they're evil, but because they are caught up in an idea that carries them along. You can see it.
And because all of us have those seeds of those various aspects to our humanity that, again, that we could either act on or not, right?
Yep, yep.
I could be a murderer in a fucking second.
Right.
Trust me.
No, I totally get it.
You know?
And that's why when they say a good guy with a gun or a law-abiding citizen with a gun is only law-abiding until they're not.
Until they're given, you know, just that bit of temptation that's too much.
Right.
For them.
And that's
right?
True of all humans. It's not like any of us are above that. We're not.
Yeah.
And we see that so clearly in this play.
Yeah. It's so amazing. And so for the person who gets to play this part, it's an incredible opportunity because you get to dip into that place of what would it be like if I took this bad, bad turn?
Yeah.
What, you know, I get to experience that through the words, through all of that anxiety, which is on the page. It's incredible. And then I can step out of it and go, thank fucking God that I didn't go down that road. Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing. So, and there, I just have to also mention the gunpowder plot because it's like another concurrent thing that was happening, that had just happened, in fact. So James gets put on the throne, and James is not only in his opinion of which is so different from Elizabeth, but in so many other ways, right?
Yeah.
He's a Catholic.
Yep.
Where Elizabeth was a Protestant. So this poor country that has gone through 40 years of beautiful peace is now fucked with upheaval again.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
And so somebody tried to murder him. And there is this thing called the gunpowder plot where they found all of these kegs of gunpowder underneath Parliament. And there was one guy sitting there, Guy Fawkes, right? And he was the only one caught out of this supposed gang of rebels. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they made a big deal out of it to show, like, you know what would have happened if the king and parliament had blown up? We could have been without a government, and then France could just swoop in, and our country wouldn't even exist anymore. You know, stuff like that. So they celebrate that every year, Guy Fawkes Day.
Yep. Also, it's kind of interesting. It never occurred to me, I'm sure it occurred to you because you are who you are, but it never occurred to me in watching Game of Thrones how that mirrors this.
Oh, totally. All of the history series, right?
Right. But also, you know, when I think about the, what was the green stuff called? Something fire?
Yeah. Wildfire.
Wildfire.
Right?
Like in the barrels underneath, like that's the gunpowder plot right there.
And there was only the one guy there, right? Who has to light it. He's like, whatever, I gotta make sure it happens, right?
Yeah. I never
can play sky high.
I never made that connection until just now.
Isn't that cool? Well, all the greatest stories come from Shakespeare, guys.
Of course.
Not to say that he didn't make them all up. He got them from places too, but you know. So.
So let's talk a little bit about the rhythm of the witches.
Yeah. So again, it's like that magic speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we just came from Midsummer Night's Dream. We saw the happy side of it, the fairies and the beautiful natural world side.
Yep.
And now we're seeing kind of that metaphysical crazy side about it.
Right. And it's kind of hypnotizing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It really lulls you. This first scene is only 13 lines long. What do we know about the number 13?
Well, it's it's considered bad luck.
Yes. Friday the 13th and all that.
And some buildings don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah, I mean, and in Italy, where I am now, they will not seat you at a table in a restaurant if you have 13 people. They absolutely won't. Because it's the Last Supper. The Last Supper was 12 apostles and Christ.
And right, and one Jesus.
And it was such a bad luck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But 13 is also coincidentally the number of a coven of witches, which is 12.
A murder of crows.
Plus Satan.
So, oh, right? Yeah, right. So that mirrors, doesn't that mirror the apostles and Jesus?
Yes.
12
and
Satan.
The 12 good guys and one bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A murder of crows. A murder of crows is 13?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Cool. Aaron's the bird witch. Yeah. So listen to the rhythm of this first scene, guys, and, you know, Aaron and I will get you into it. And then the very last two lines is a spell.
Yeah.
It's this incredible rhythm and rhyme that you could repeat and repeat, and it's super famous. And they start the play by casting a nasty spell.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about wayward and weird and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're called the Weird Sisters. Why? Well, they call themselves that.
Yeah, but so when you look in the folio versus the quarto versus the Riverside, it's different.
It's spelled very differently, right? And you could pronounce it differently.
Yeah.
So Weird, Weyard, W-E-Y-A-R-D, yeah. Right? So the Wayward Sisters might be wandering, you know, more like gypsies,
yeah,
as we talked about mm-hmm. the other time. Or the Weird Sisters, they're sort of not like other people.
Not like human.
Not human so much. Well, they're described as bearded,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Banquo says they have beards.
Yeah.
So they're women with beards.
Well, so
they're crones, hags.
Yes, and they, so if we're playing to James here, right, they are women who take on male attributes, which obviously makes them evil.
Yeah. They're like old-time trans people.
I love that.
So they're obviously evil.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So who's reading what?
First, second, third, doesn't matter, right? For this one? I'll be the first witch.
You be first. I'll be second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go with our spell.
Thunder and lightning.
When shall we three meet again?
You
in
froze!
In thunder, lightning,
oh,
or in
no!
rain?
Oh, no.
Oh, Erin, you froze.
Oh, there you are.
There I am. Shall we start again?
Yes, please.
Let's do that. Okay. When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ere the set of sun. Where the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth. No. Macbeth.
F?
Again,
upon the F.
Funny rhyme. Yeah. Funny rhyme. And then she hears something, the first witch. I come, Grey Malkin. Who's Grey Malkin?
Familiar?
Yeah, he's a cat.
Okay.
He's a cat. So a familiar, witches had like animals that hung out with them, cats and frogs. So Paddock in the next line is a frog. So they have, this was, I think these names are in here because this is what witches were known to be, right?
Okay,
women who hung out with animals.
Yeah, right. It clarifies that they're, not only are they bearded, but they have animal friends.
They have animal friends, and so obviously they're terrifying and dangerous.
Snow White.
Yeah.
Princess Aurora. They all, oh, right. Okay.
So, I come, Grey Malkin.
Haddock calls.
Anon. Fair is foul, and foul is fair.
Hover.
Through the fog.
And filthy air.
Oh, so fair is foul and foul is fair.
They're the opposite. So they're,
yeah.
One is, you know, good is bad and bad is good.
Yeah. So nothing is what it might seem like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is setting up the tone for the play. So right now, and you're going to listen in this next scene, how Macbeth is described. We don't actually get to meet him yet.
Yeah.
But how he's described is as a hero and a good guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He is a good guy. He's
so nothing is what it seems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he's a good guy in the beginning, does that mean that he's not a good guy at all? Or does that mean that he's not a bad guy? Right? Like he seems one thing and he isn't. Yeah.
He's human.
Confusing.
He's
human.
He's human. And also, I would point out, Satan started off as an angel.
Yeah. Lucifer, right?
Yep.
He was right up there with all of the white and shining guys.
Yep. And then he fell.
And then he fell.
Yep.
So, who's deeply resonant in terms of
religious
politics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Reading what?
You read Duncan.
Okay.
Malcolm only has a couple lines.
Okay.
You read Duncan, read Malcolm, and I'll read Sargent.
Okay.
And then you can read Ross when he comes around.
Okay.
He's got a bunch to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Duncan. What bloody man is that? He can report, as seemeth by his plight, of the revolt, the newest state. And Malcolm.
And then Malcolm.
This is a shared line. This is the sergeant who, like a good and hardy soldier, fought against my captivity. Hail, brave friend! Say to the king the knowledge of the broil as thou didst leave it.
Yeah, so Duncan and Malcolm, how are they related?
Malcolm is Duncan's son.
His firstborn son.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they have a shared line as their very first thing. They are family.
Yeah.
We can tell that they're close, right?
Yep.
And the guy who's coming in is the guy who saved Malcolm's life.
Yep.
Fought against my captivity. He fought to keep him from getting captured.
Yep.
So then he's like, oh my God, tell the king what happened after we parted.
Right.
And so the sergeant is bleeding. We got to remember that. And he also has a shared line with Malcolm. He's like moving this whole thing along. Right?
Yeah.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. So, like, they cling together and drown themselves, right?
Right.
Two swimmers who are trying to save themselves. The merciless MacDonald, now that's a Scottish name.
Yeah.
So he should be on their side, but merciless seems to indicate that he isn't.
Yeah.
And he explains that immediately. Worthy to be a rebel, for to that the multiplying villainies of nature do swarm upon him. So he's a terrible guy. From the western isles of Kerns and Gallow Glasses is supplied. So Kerns were foot soldiers, hired foot soldiers, and Gallow Glasses were mercenaries.
Wow.
So this MacDonald guy rounded up a whole bunch of extra guys to come against Duncan and his troops.
Mm-hmm.
And fortune on his damned quarrel smiling showed like a rebel's whore. Fortune was a big slut by helping him out. But all's too weak for brave Macbeth. Well, he deserves that name. Disdaining fortune with his brandished steel. So he's like, brave Macbeth fucked fortune in the ass, right? Just like, he came out of nowhere and just taught this cunt a lesson. With his brandished steel. It's like he whipped out his hard as hell dick, you know? Yeah. Which smoked with bloody execution. Wow. It's like, it was still like spurting. Yeah, this is some seriously, you know, homoerotic description here. That's the thing about soldiers, you know? They're all hanging out with each other for months and months while they're on the battlefield.
Right.
And they can't help but, you know, start to see, like, the other guy as the big hero, exciting fellow.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a dark road. Like valor's minion carved out his passage. So a minion is a servant.
Right.
So he was like the servant of valor, right? Till he faced the slave. Boom, 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 boom. And then there's five silent beats. What do we know about this guy? The sergeant?
Well, he's hurt.
He's hurt. He's bleeding.
Yeah.
So if there's five silent beats, he might need to like... or, oh, wince, or something, or, like, stop up his wound, or something, right?
Yeah.
Shakespeare gives it to you there.
Yeah.
There's a place where you can, like, show us how much you're hurting.
Right. And also, till he faced the slave, right? So it's all monosyllabic. Yeah.
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 Which ne'er shook hands nor bade farewell to him till he unseamed him from the nave to the chops and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Unseamed him from the nave to the chops, so from his belly button all the way up to his jaw, unseamed being like ripped him open.
ripped him open. That is fucking violent.
Yeah.
That's insane, right? And fixed his head, and he chopped off his head, and he put it up on the castle walls.
Don't that look pretty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we know about Macbeth at this point?
He's pretty violent.
He's pretty fucking violent,
yeah.
Man. And rageful.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to meet this guy in battle.
No.
Oh, my God.
And
Duncan's pretty excited about
him. Yeah, right. Duncan's like, oh, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
Yeah. Really awesome.
So,
and also cousin.
Right.
Great word.
Find out right then and there that Duncan and Macbeth are related.
No, they're related, yeah. And of course, cousin, you could call any kind of, you know, relative that was a man, but
yeah.
Yeah. And then the sergeant, like, wait, there's more. As whence the sun gins his reflection, shipwrecking storms and direful thunders break. So he's comparing him now to the sun breaking through those horrible dark clouds
yeah.
that cause tempests, right?
Yeah.
So from that spring whence comfort seemed to come, discomfort swells. Mark, King of Scotland, mark.
Uh-oh. The sun was breaking through, but now there's something evil coming. Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's coming from the same direction as the sun comes. So, which is east,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is east of England is Norway, Sweden, and all of those guys, right?
Right, right, right.
So the fucking Vikings are coming, King of Scotland. Watch out, buddy.
We don't only
yeah.
worry about our own people. We got problems with the Vikings.
The Vikings now. So we had MacDonald, who's our own guy, who's a rebel. And now, holy shit. Holy shit. No sooner justice had with valor armed. So justice and valor have Macbeth on their side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Compelled these skipping kerns to trust their heels. These fucking foot soldiers, these hired men, ran off. Okay?
Yeah.
But the Norwegian lord, surveying vantage, with furbished arms and new supplies of men, began a fresh assault.
So the Vikings
suddenly
were watching, and they were like, now's a good time to attack.
Yeah. Look at them. They're all spent, these poor guys. They're like, and then half of their army is running away. That's what they saw.
Yeah.
Right? So they espied an advantage, and they attacked from the other side.
Right. And
because
and then there's a shared line.
Yeah, began a fresh assault, and Duncan's freaked out, right?
Dismayed not this our captains Macbeth and Banquo?
Yes, as sparrows eagles, or the hare the lion. So that yes is deep sarcasm.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, they weren't dismayed. They were as afraid as eagles might be of sparrows, or lions might be of rabbits. If I say sooth, I must report they were as cannons overcharged with double cracks, so they doubly redoubled strokes upon the foe, except they meant to bathe in reeking wounds or memorize another Golgotha.
What? Well, first of all, I love as cannons overcharged with double cracks, so they doubly redoubled strokes upon the foe. How beautiful is that?
Yeah, you can hear the cannon shots,
yeah.
right? Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Yeah, it's wild. And where's Golgotha?
Oh, I don't know.
It's the mountain where Christ died.
Well, see, I'm not a Christian. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had to look it up too. And memorize is like memorialize. Like, it's almost like they were playing out this huge event similar to when Christ died.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing, right? Something that truly important that was happening right here.
Yeah.
And it has the effect of, like, making Macbeth's deeds holy.
Okay. Oh, and that
yeah.
bunch in this play.
Yeah,
holy.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Lady Mac says later, what thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
She's like, you would like to make every act of yours incredibly sacred
yep.
and huge.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, yep.
And then he's like... The sergeant just starts to faint, and he's told his big story, and he's done. I cannot tell, but I am faint. My gashes cry for help.
And Duncan says, so well thy words become thee as thy wounds. They smack of honor both. Go, get him surgeons.
And he leaves.
And then, who comes here?
the worthy Thane of Ross.
Lennox.
I'll get Lennox. Okay. So Lennox says, what a haste looked through his eyes. So should he look that seems to speak things strange.
And Ross says, God save the king.
Yeah, so it's a shared line also.
Yeah.
And I think Ross has to throw that in because to let Duncan know that you're still king.
Yeah.
Which means that you're still the victor here.
Yeah. And Duncan, whence camest thou, worthy Thane? And Ross says, from Fife, great king, where the Norwegian banners flout the sky and fan our people cold. Norway himself, with terrible numbers, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor, began a dismal conflict till that Bellona's?
Yeah.
Bellona's bridegroom lapped in proof. Okay, Bellona.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, the Norwegian banners are still
flying
out in the sky.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Norway's so fucking terrifying, right?
Norway, so the king.
Yeah, yeah. The king and his armies, right?
Uh-huh.
But so Ross says he's coming from Fife, and you'll find out later that Fife is where Macduff lives.
Right.
So Macduff maybe has the responsibility of protecting the kingdom from Viking invasion.
Mm.
That might be his duty there.
Right.
And that's interesting. But what, so let's talk about a kingdom where now we're hearing about another traitor, the Thane of Cawdor.
Yeah.
Is another traitor.
Right.
We had MacDonald, now we have Cawdor. What's happening with this kingdom and all of these guys?
It's not sticking together very well.
Yeah.
A Thane, let's be clear, a Thane is a gifted title, right?
Yes.
Right. It's a gifted title.
Yeah, so it's not like an inherited title.
Right.
Like, and so you'll hear at the very end of the play, Malcolm makes all the Thanes earls, which is then an inherited title that's going to pass down to their sons.
Right. But so you, to become a Thane, the king has to recognize some good that you've done.
Yeah, and give you land and titles and castle and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so here we have Cawdor.
Yeah, being disloyal.
Going against. And Bellona is the Roman goddess of war. And so Bellona's bridegroom is Macbeth. He's like the husband of the goddess of war.
Okay.
He's covered in blood. He's matching every blow that anyone comes at him with. He's like a mirror to the foe, lapped in proof. He confronted with self-comparisons, which you'll say in a second. He just like goes at them with everything that they come at him with.
Yeah. I'm rubber, you're glue.
Yeah, yeah. I got everything to throw back at you.
Right. So he's...
Go from there.
Confronted...
Till that.
...with self-comparisons, point against point rebellious... point against point rebellious, arm against arm, curbing his lavish spirit, and to conclude, the victory fell on us. And Duncan says, great happiness! And Ross says... That now, Sweno?
Sweno, that's his name, I guess, the Norwegian king.
Okay. That now, Sweno, the Norway's king, craves composition.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
All right.
Let's figure this out now. Right? But this is a great, there's a triple shared line. The victory fell on us, great happiness, that now. So it's like Ross was still in the middle of his talking, and Duncan just had to like... interject.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Triple shared line. And you're going to see that this play actually contains, I think, the only example of a five-way shared line.
Wow.
Five lines that share the single rhythm of one line. So this is a first stab at it. Sweno. Okay. So let's go with Sweno.
Sweno, the Norway's king, craves composition. Nor would we deign him burial of his men till he dispersed at St. Holmes Inch, $10,000 to our general use.
So we wouldn't let him bury his dead until he paid us off and left.
Right. And Duncan says, no more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go pronounce his present death, and with his former title, greet Macbeth. And Ross says, I'll see it done. And Duncan says, what he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won. Oof.
It's a little awkward
yeah.
in the rhythm there, right?
Yeah.
At the end. I mean, it's sort of a rhyming couplet, but it's not.
He hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won. Yeah, it's just, it's weird in the what he hath lost, noble. Noble stands out in that sentence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what have we heard Macbeth described as? We've heard him as a terrifying warrior,
yeah,
right? But also noble, this last word. And...
But it's interesting that noble lands on a weird, awkward, you know, so maybe he's not quite noble.
Yeah, noble would be a strong word for him, I think.
Yeah.
Right? But he wants, Duncan wants to believe he is because he's done so many good things for him in the last couple of days, especially. Right?
But we also know the Thane of Cawdor also had done good things for Duncan.
Yeah.
And now has gone against him. So, like, just because you're a Thane don't mean nothing.
Yeah. So, but he, so Duncan says that he's going to give the title of the Thane of Cawdor to Macbeth.
Yeah.
So we actually already know this.
Right.
As the audience.
Right.
Right?
But Macbeth doesn't.
But that's interesting to notice that we know it, right? So when we hear these predictions, we're going to know that one of them is already true.
Right.
Great. So witches are coming back now.
Yeah.
We're doing scene three.
Yeah.
And they we only see them in four scenes.
Right.
Like, there's not a lot going on, right? The first one we already saw.
Yeah.
Then we see this one. And then we see a scene with Hecate, which we'll get to her. And then we see a crazy scene with a cauldron and conjuring of spirits. That's it.
Yeah.
But they string us along, right? And so a lot of people, well, I don't know about a lot, but people have said, oh, well, maybe the witches are only a figment of Macbeth's imagination.
Well, then how can Banquo see them?
Yeah. That's what I think. Like, Banquo is the first to see them, in fact.
Right.
So I don't know that I agree with that take. And what we want to notice here is how their words are received. When they say stuff, how do Macbeth and Banquo react, right? They react very differently.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Banquo for a second. How is he important in this play?
Well, he's important in several ways. He's one of Macbeth's closest, dearest friends.
Yeah. Right?
They fight together, you know, and win together. But, well, as we're going to see with what the witches say, well, let's do it and then talk about it because I don't want to.
But he is, well, he's related to King James, what we need to know.
Okay.
And, but the time of this play is like 1080 or something, the time of the events of the play. Mm-hmm. So it's long before King James's rule. So James would know this, you know, as soon as the name Banquo comes up on the, you know, bill, playbill or whatever, he's like, oh, that's my great, 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 great.
Yeah.
Whatever he is, right? He's like, ah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Put my ancestor in the play. All right. You read the first witch this time. She's got lots of fun story there.
Where hast thou been, sister?
Killing swine.
You do.
Sister, where thou?
A sailor's wife had chestnuts in her lap, munched and munched and munched. Give me, quoth I. Aroint thee, witch, the rump-fed runyon cries.
Aroint thee is fuck off, bitch.
Get out of here. I am not giving you my chestnuts, bitch.
Yeah. And the rump-fed runyon.
Yeah.
The rump of the meat is like the best parts, right?
Right.
So she's like the bitch who gets to eat all the good parts.
Right. And she won't share her fucking chestnuts.
Fucking bitch.
Husband's to Aleppo gone, master o' the tiger.
That's a famous ship, right?
Yeah, the tiger was a famous shipwreck in Shakespeare's day. So that would have been like, oh, we're going to talk about witches wrecking ships now.
But in a sieve, I'll thither sail and... like a rat without a tail, I'll do.
Ooh. Okay, so in a sieve is a direct reference to something that happened to James, because in the witch trials that he amassed on his first return from going, so he was going to look for his bride in Denmark. He was going to go with ships and bring her back. And this horrible big storm came up out of nowhere. And he freaked out, and one of his ships went down, and they went back to England, and he was like, it's witches! So he rounded up 70 women and tortured them, and one of them said, oh yes, an army of witches came to these shores in a sieve. What's a sieve?
I don't know.
It's a colander with holes in
it. Oh, that kind of... I know what that is.
Yeah. So it's like, you can't sail in that.
No.
That's just stupid.
Right. Magic.
Magic.
Magic. And
yeah.
Like a rat without a tail.
I'll do. What's a rat without a tail?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
It's an ugly little something. I don't know. I think it's just a cool image. You know, okay. She's like, maybe rats could be caught by their tails, and so I can't be caught.
Can't be caught. Oh, that's good. I like. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And so then the second witch wants in on this excitement. I'll give thee a wind.
Thou art kind.
And I another.
I myself have all the other, and the very ports they blow, all the quarters that they know, in the shipman's card, I will drain him dry as hay. Sleep shall neither night nor day hang upon his penthouse lid. He shall live a man forbid. Weary sennights?
7 nights, yeah.
Oh, weary sennights, 9 times 9, shall he dwindle, peak, and pine. Though his bark cannot be lost, yet it shall be tempest-tossed.
Yeah, and that's a direct reference again to that very same episode.
Right.
So James didn't actually go down, but he had to suffer the tempest, right?
Right. And so what she's saying is she's going to drain the life out of him.
Out of that sailor who's the husband of this bitch.
Right. Upon his penthouse lid. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. His eyelids, right?
Yeah.
He will never sleep. He will not sleep until I have, like, driven him crazy.
Right. Look what I have.
Show me.
Here I have a pilot's thumb, wrecked as homeward he did come.
Yeah, so obviously witches cut pieces off of humans and use them for spells.
Yeah.
And the third witch, a drum, Macbeth doth come.
The weird sisters.
And
in hand.
Posters of the sea and land.
Thus go about.
Thrice to thine, and thrice to mine.
And thrice again, make up 9.
Peace, the charms wound up. Good. Posters of the sea and land is like the term post-haste. Like they hurry over, they can travel quickly over sea and by land.
Okay.
Either way.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're going around 9 times around. There's some kind of spell that they're casting.
Yeah.
And here comes the subject of their spell.
You're reading Macbeth, right?
Sure. So foul and fair a day I have not seen. What does he say? He echoes the witches, yeah, the very first thing.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both foul and fair. It's not mixed. It's not one is the other. It's both.
Yeah, because he's seen horrible battles today, right?
Yes.
And he's seen great victory. But his first fucking line is exactly what the witches
so
said. It's incredible.
He's in their spell.
Yeah, yeah, he totally is.
And Banquo says, How far is called to Forus? Wait, Forus?
Forus is like where they're traveling to meet the king. It's the town. They keep putting it at the top of the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're near Forus. Okay. Yeah.
How far is't called to Forus? What are these so withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth and yet are on't? Live you? Or are you aught that man may question? You seem to understand me, by each at once her choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so.
Speak if you can. What are you? So he jumps right in. He's very nervous, right?
Yeah, because they're creepy.
Yeah. Banquo seems a little calmer, like he's self-possessed enough to describe them.
Yeah.
And Macbeth is very nervous, freaked out about them. Because that's a +1 line, and he also jumps right in. So, first witch.
All hail Macbeth, Hail to thee, Thane of Glamis.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
And third witch, that's you.
Third witch. All hail, Macbeth. That shalt be king hereafter.
And Banquo. Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner, you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope that he seems rapt withal. To me you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me, who neither beg nor fear your favors nor your hate.
Cool, right? So at first there's an embedded stage direction right. for Mac, right?
Right.
Why do you start?
And seem to fear things. So he's obviously afraid.
Afraid, right? He gets very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, are you fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly you show? So what would be the opposite of fantastical?
Human.
Normal, right? You look like humans. Are you humans, or are you metaphysical something?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he talks
about... And then he describes Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he uses that word noble.
Yeah.
That was in the end of the scene, right? Yeah. And then he's asking him to, like... He's asking them to speak to him, right?
Right.
Tell me, what about me?
Right.
Something about me. I'm not scared of you.
Right.
Right?
I'm not as scared of you.
I'm not as scared of you. So it's almost like Shakespeare's allowing James's ancestor to have, you know, James's voice. Like, I'm not scared of you fucking witches.
I'll take you out.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, first witch. Hail.
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 Lesser than Macbeth. And greater.
Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none. So all hail, Macbeth and Banquo.
Banquo and Macbeth, all hail.
Good, so thou shalt get kings, meaning you are going to make some kings, but you're not going to be...
Your progeny and their progeny will be kings.
Yes. And then Macbeth is like, wait a minute. I need more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay, you imperfect speakers. Tell me more. So he points out they're not telling him the whole story, right? Imperfect. You got to tell me how this happens, right?
You can't, it's not enough to just say. You can't say that and not give me
information. Yeah. By Sinel's death, I know I'm Thane of Glamis. Sinel is just Macbeth's father. So by him being dead, I know that I inherited his land. Uh-huh. But how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives, a prosperous gentleman, and to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence, or why upon this blasted heath you stop our way with such prophetic greeting. Speak, I charge you.
Poof, they're gone.
Poof, poofity poof.
Fuck you, Macbeth, poof.
off we go.
And Banquo says, the earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air, and what seemed corporal melted as breath unto the wind. Would they had stayed?
Banquo, were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane root that takes the reason prisoner?
I love that, because it's like, dude, were we smoking something weird last night? The insane root.
drugs.
Yeah. And then Macbeth is like, your children shall be king.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor too. When did not so? So it's almost like they're like, did you see that thing? I didn't see. Did you see anything? I didn't see anything. Right? It's almost like they can joke about it here,
yeah,
right?
Right, because it's like, these crazy old bitches.
Yeah. Or we were smoking something weird and we just had a weird hallucination. And let's get on with wherever we were going.
Yeah. Banquo, to the selfsame tune and words, who's here? And here comes Ross.
Yes.
The king hath happily received Macbeth,
the news of thy success, and when he reads thy personal venture in the rebels' fight, his wonders and praises do contend which should be thine or his. Silenced with that, in viewing, or the rest, oh, the selfsame day, he finds thee in the stout Norwegian ranks, nothing afeard of what thyself didst make. Strange images of death, as thick as hail, came post with post, and every one did bear thy praises in his kingdom's great defense, and poured them down before him.
Yeah, so he's like, geez, the king had to listen to all of these incredible reports about you and silenced with that, like he was so dumbstruck.
Yeah.
Right? That he didn't know what to say, and he heard about you attacking the Norwegians and like giving them, you know, this blood-covered mask and just like giving them everything that they gave you. And he's amazed.
Yeah.
And then Angus is like, let's get on with this.
Yeah.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks, only to herald thee into his sight, not pay thee. It's almost like Angus is a little jealous there. Right?
We're not giving you any money. We're just telling you that he's happy with you.
Yeah.
Ross, and for an earnest of that, and for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor, in which addition, hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine. And Banquo is like, what? Can the devil speak true?
Yeah, and it's a shared line. He jumps right in. He's like, what the fuck?
Right. Right.
Yeah, and then Beth is like, nah, no, no, no. The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes? And Angus jumps right in. He's like, yeah, yeah. Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life, which he deserves to lose, whether he was combined with those of Norway, or did line the rebel with hidden help and vantage, or that with both he labored in his country's wreck, I know not. But treason's capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Mm.
Yeah, Angus is like, listen, don't question your good fortune, man. The guy's a douche, and he is getting what he deserves.
Right.
Right? And then Macbeth, and this says it's an aside. Doesn't have to be. Once again. So, Glamis and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind. Behind means after, like it's hiding behind these other two things.
Yeah.
But if this is something that's said out loud, he could mean that Cawdor is greater than Glamis.
Yeah.
Right? As far as his hearers are concerned.
Right. Right. They don't know. They don't know.
They don't know. Banquo knows.
Yeah.
So he could direct that to Banquo? Like, holy fuck. Look at this. This just happened. And what about that king thing?
Right. What about that king thing?
Yeah. And then he says to Ross and Angus, thanks for your pains. And then he turns definitely to Banquo. Because what he says now is definitely for Banquo. Do you not hope your children shall be kings? When those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them?
And Banquo, right away, that trusted home might yet enkindle you unto the crown, besides the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange, oftentimes, to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles, to betrays in deepest consequence. Cousins, a word, I pray you.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah.
Like Satan can tell you what you want to hear, and it can be true, but he's leading you down the primrose path.
Really bad place to go, man. Right? And it all depends on, you know, so Macbeth said, well, if we believe them about this, then we could believe them about king, and we could believe them about you getting, you know, your kids becoming kings. And he's like, yeah, if you believe them.
And
right?
If they're not in, because the instruments of darkness tell us truths. So they may be telling the truth, but they're the instruments of darkness. They're not, you should not follow what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely no. And then Macbeth. Now, if he says cousin's word, we do know that Banquo probably pulls them aside, the other two guys.
Yeah.
So maybe he wants a little bit of clarification on how did this battle finish.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Two truths are told as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme. I thank you, gentlemen. this supernatural soliciting. Notice the S's, right? Now he's whispering, right? He also uses two enormous words, supernatural soliciting.
Yeah.
Big, big words that fill the line. Cannot be ill, cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success? Commencing in a truth, I am Thane of Cawdor. Like, so he's still trying that on,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And then fair is foul, right? Cannot be ill, cannot be good.
Right.
So it can't be a bad thing because I got this great thing, but it also can't be a good thing.
Right.
But now he's reasoning it out. But if it's bad, I already got one thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, if good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. So this is fascinating about Macbeth, is that he can project himself into the finished act and the consequences,
right,
and of that act.
That's what Harold Bloom was talking about, you know? And that's why it's so frightening. It's so
because his imagination, you talked about that.
Yeah.
His imagination is so huge that he can go the whole way to the end of this story and understand that it's terrifying and it's bad.
Right.
Then he says that here. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise and nothing is but what is not.
Now, and also, okay, so the fact that he can project it out and he can see it and he knows it's bad and yet he has attached himself to it gets Lady Macbeth off the hook in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone always makes her the villain, but I don't believe, I don't believe either of them are villains, but I don't think she forced this on him at all.
No. No, I think she draws it from him, right? She says, you are possessed of these things. You can want this, but you just seem to not be able to act upon your desires.
Do it. I will help.
So she's the prod that makes him act.
Yeah.
But he wants it.
Yeah.
So my murder is yet fantastical. It's still just a fantasy, but he says the word.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My thought.
He knows what he wants to do now.
Yes, he does.
But he's smothered in surmise. He can't move for thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Banquo's like,
Banquo says, look how our partner's wrapped.
If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir. So he's like, fuck it. I'm not doing anything about it.
It'll happen.
Let that fucking slut Fortune figure it out.
Yeah. And Banquo right? says, new honors come upon him, like our strange garments cleave not to their mold, but with the aid of use.
So he's speaking of him in the third person, so clearly they're not quite in his presence.
Right.
This is what makes you think that, like, these two parties are separated on the stage,
yeah.
right? So, like, Macbeth is not quite comfortable in his new title. It's like new clothing that doesn't quite feel right yet.
Yep.
And so Macbeth is still off in his own world. Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day. it's like something has been set in motion, and I can't stop it.
Yeah. And Banquo says, worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Oh, give me your favor. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Kind gentlemen, your pains are registered where every day I turn the leaf to read them. Let us toward the king. Think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts to each other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough. Come, friends.
Oh, no rhyme.
No. So we are setting up some discomfort here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, something ugly's gonna happen.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, but so far, like, if Macbeth stopped here with what he's thinking here now, do you think he would do this thing?
Well, it seems that he wouldn't. It seems like he's saying right now, okay, I can see it, and it scares me, but if it's meant to happen, it's going to happen without me lifting a finger to make it happen, so I don't need to do anything.
Yeah, I don't need to murder him. Something else is going to happen.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
That makes it happen. So the thing about that is that could have happened, right?
Yep.
So we just talked about Fanes as not being hereditary, and the kingdom was actually not hereditary either in those times.
Right.
So it was generally thought that the son would inherit, but it could be that, like, the greatest hero of the land also inherits the throne.
Right.
Because it was sort of a mutual communal decision, not just the king's.
Right.
So could Macbeth have become king without doing anything terrible?
It's possible.
And that is a fascinating crux right there.
I love this play.
I know, so fucking amazing. Ooh.
Right.
Well, it's good. It's good to be back in the saddle, Erin.
It is good to be back in the saddle. And next week we'll come to you from both of us being in Italy.
Woohoo! So exciting!
Yeah. I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And this was
Spook Shakespeare.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com
or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.